Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 235. Oh, I'm exhausted. Of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her tracking. That means get back on track. That's what it's about. And I have one of our all-time favorite expert guests. So I can't wait, and neither can you, I know. So before we begin this terrific show, just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. All right, here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. Why? Because I love to hear from you. Feedback. And it just keeps me all connected to you, and I just can't get enough of it. So remember, this is your first reminder. Second one coming up after the show. All right, it's time for her. Well, we're going to be talking about her and her lifestyle, healthy lifestyle again. So, of course, we have on Dr. Beth Frates, our go-to person. She is an assistant professor at the Harvard Medical School. And really, honestly, she's all things lifestyle medicine. She even wrote the book, Lifestyle Medicine Handbook, an introduction to the power of healthy habits. Ah, Beth, welcome back to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much, Pam. It's a delight to be here again. I always enjoy my time with you.
Okay, now, Beth, we're talking about healthy lifestyles. How are we going to make this work? Oh my gosh. Now, you and I, as lifestyle medicine people, talk about this a lot. You know, everyone says, okay, we have the best of intentions. You wake up in the morning, okay, we're going to rock and roll today. And then by about 5 o'clock, you realize you haven't done anything. What happened? And then you say, I've fallen off track, so I'm just going to go down the slippery slope of, you know, just letting it all rip, feeling defeated, helpless, and hopeless, and then we're right back to overeating and blowing off our physical activity. Okay, help Dr. Beth Frates. What do you do to stay on track?
Yes, great question. This comes up a lot, especially after the New Year's resolutions have worn down and we're still in winter in New England. We're not quite getting spring fever or enthusiastic about the summer beach activities. So we're in this phase now in March where we're often off track. I myself have gotten off track. I think that's the first thing everybody needs to realize. Getting off track is actually part of the process. What we need to learn is getting back on track and not just throwing it all away. So if we miss a day of exercise, it's all right. We can't do the shame, blame, guilt thing for missing that one day. We instead have to say, what happened in that day? I didn't put it in my calendar, perhaps, or I had planned to do a jog outside and it started to snow and I didn't have a backup plan, or I let work get to me and I got carried away, or I didn't eat during the day and I'm so exhausted that I can't even think about going to exercise. So you look at the mishap or the setback or the off track episode and you say, how did it happen and how do I prevent it from happening again? What I like to do with people is I like to think about intrinsic motivators. So that's a motivator that comes from within. Often we start with extrinsic motivators, and I have had clients tell me about motivators such as wearing a bathing suit in Florida in 6 months, such as losing weight for a reunion, many kind of extrinsic motivators. And what I like to do, I'll work with that, but what I really try to do is get to the intrinsic motivators, which I know you have, Pam, which I have, which are I want to go for a run because I want the endorphin high. I want to go for a run because I want to feel calm. I want to go for a run because I want to increase my creativity in my afternoon or evening. So I have internal motivators. When I run, I know I get some specific rewards out of it. So we can work with both external and internal motivators. When we get off track, we need to think back to our motivators. If we can tap into those internal motivators, terrific. If we need an external motivator to get us going, well, let's tap into that. So tapping into the motivators is key. Then I would say, for me and for clients, the next thing is really having an accountability format for ourselves built into our lifestyles. What do I mean by that? Some people, some clients of mine still love their pedometer. So they check their pedometer every day and they're really striving for a certain number of steps. As you say, it used to be 10,000, really perhaps it's more 7,000. But at any rate, they have their own goal with their pedometer and they use that for tracking. That works for some. Some have their devices, right? Their watches now. And these things help them for tracking. I like the personal touch. I like having a friend, a spouse, a partner, a colleague, and you're working together towards your goals. For example, right now I'm training for a marathon with two colleagues for breast cancer research. So we're on top of each other. Did you do your long run? How is it going? And we're helping to keep each other accountable by checking in with each other and having that human touch. And I mention it, by the way, I mention a run or a race because often striving towards a bigger goal, when you're off track, and if you've been off track for, say, months, something that can get you back on track is doing a race for a cause. Often we feel as human beings, we want to help. We want to help other people. We want to help a cause. And when we commit to something like a race, a 5K, a 3K, a 10K, a half marathon, whatever it may be, it sets us up for solid efforts until we reach that race.
Okay, now I'm going to hop in here for a second.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to say the following. Boy, here it comes. Now, you and I, you know, I'm a triathlete and I've done marathons and you're obviously a runner. And so here's the gig. That's all real special, but that's about 0.01% of the population. I'm going back now to where a lot of our HER listeners are. And that is a lot of them haven't even taken that very first step to really getting it all together. Or they have, you know, they've been off for so long that they feel kind of, you know, like there's just no hope. And then the final piece is how many people, raise your hand out there, just what I thought, who would say, I have tried and I quote, failed so many times, I'm exhausted even thinking about it. So let's go to the person who is your average, you know, woman out there who is, by statistics, overweight or obese, probably fairly unfit, will never, ever run in her life. And if she does, it'll be pretty limited or whatever. What do you now do? Let's back it up 30 paces and let's get that person motivated and on track.
Okay, terrific. I'm glad that you brought this up. Indeed, this is a large number of my clients, as you mentioned. So what I like to start with is, tell me what you like to do for fun. How do you like to move your body in a way that brings you joy? And if they say, well, I haven't moved in years, so I can't answer that, then I say, well, tell me about something you enjoyed doing when you were younger or when you were active. What were you doing when you were exercising? And I'll tell you, Pam, people come up with aerobics, okay? So they like group classes or have done group classes in the past that have brought them great joy and enthusiasm, commitment, and consistency with their exercise. Yes, we don't have aerobics classes anymore, but that we have a lot of other classes. And sure, we're not going to jump into a spinning class if we haven't been exercising. But if we go to a YMCA, there'll be classes for beginning exercisers. So if you're a class type person, you've been in classes in the past and that really worked for you, then looking for a gym or YMCA that holds classes for getting into exercise, beginning exercise, would be a good place to start. Another thing I do with people that are just beginning to get moving, and they have identified sports as what they did in high school, and basically since high school, they haven't done anything at all. And being on a soccer team at this point is not in the cards. So then what we get to do is explore all options and see what floats their boat, what gets them excited. We do a brainstorming session. I think you do this too, Pam, with people, which
absolutely.
And you try to have fun. So we say, okay, so in an ideal world, if you could move your body in a way and you could participate in an exercise class, what would it look like? What is your exercise that you would want to do if you could do it? And people come up with hiking up the mountain, swimming. I would like to be bicycling. I've always thought that yoga was fun, but I'm intimidated by the outfits. I'm intimidated by the women that are there. So you just get to explore together what options this individual in front of you might be thinking. And there's no way for you, Pam, or for me to guess what's in their head. So we need to ask questions and we need to be curious and we need to hopefully ignite in this person who is not moving, a little bit of excitement about the thought that they could be engaging in an activity that will be fun. That's the thing, Pam. If someone has not been moving, the idea of joining a gym and getting on a treadmill and running on a treadmill, I think is probably close to torture to the majority of people that I've worked with that are in the position you're talking about. Haven't moved at all for years and years. I will also say a walking group. Now, when I initially meet with people that are in this position, that, as you described, they haven't exercised in years, they're overweight, not feeling well, feeling very fatigued, I will say in our first meeting, is it all right if we walk together? And every single person has said yes. So I like to start out by taking a walk as we talk and as we counsel on physical activity and health. Now, I'll tell you why. Once you get someone walking and moving a little bit and you're talking to them, most of the time people forget that they're even walking and moving. They're so engrossed in the conversation. And they end up many times walking at least 15, 20, half an hour with me without even noticing that time has gone by. Now, that may not be possible for some people that have done no activity for many years, but at least 5, 10, 15 minutes is likely possible. So getting them going in that way. The other thing for this grouping is friends and groups, so social support. So trying to connect with another friend that is in a similar position and maybe wants to start off walking. But I've had people, Pam, do hula hooping classes in the local recreation center together. So you have to have that exploration, that curiosity, not get boxed in with jogging. And I did start with that, and that is what I do, as you said. But no, that's not the only form of exercise. There's so many fun classes at a local recreation center, at a YMCA.
But okay, now I'm going to go to another place because okay, what good. You've been saying absolutely, totally resonates. No question.
Oh, great.
All right. Now,
yeah.
Let's do this. Mm-hmm. We live in an environment where MOVE, move,
yes,
is a four-letter word. Okay. And I think that a lot of people out there who aren't like born naturally athletic and whatever, I think a lot of people don't get the whole point. Like, why? What is the meaning and purpose of physical movement? Like, how does it fit into someone's life when you live in an environment, you know, in a culture where there are 900 ways to get around moving, everything from remotes to cars to elevators and escalators and, you know, all these things. Why would someone want to then dedicate a little time to go out and hit that trail in the park?
So that's a fantastic question. And I'm sure, as you said, many of your listeners are contemplating that as we are talking. To that, I would say, going to intrinsic motivators and looking at what exercise really can do for you, what my clients report to me, what's in the medical literature. Let's just talk about some of the big ticket items. So the idea that a 5 to 10 minute walk inside in your workplace or outside, a 5 to 10 minute walk can reduce your state of anxiety. So if you're feeling anxious, feeling stressed, one of the best things you can do for your body and mind is take a walk. So it is move. And so thinking about what exercise can do for your state of joy, it might be useful to people. I am quite sure that the listeners know that when we exercise, it's good for our heart. We know what it does with blood sugars. It helps us regulate those. I want to make sure that our listeners understand that exercise 150 minutes per week for 4 weeks has been in research compared to antidepressant medications, and the two have performed equally. So after 4 weeks, which is of course how long it takes for an antidepressant to get full effect, and after 4 weeks of this exercise accumulating 150 minutes in the week, depressive symptoms went down similarly, and serotonin levels went up similarly. So understanding that when you move, you're changing your physiology. You're actually changing cells in your body. The insulin receptors are becoming more sensitive. You are releasing dopamine. You are releasing serotonin. And something maybe your listeners have not heard about, you are releasing BDNF. What's that? Brain-derived neurotrophic factor.
Yes, bring it on. Why do we love that BDNF? Now, everyone out there, listen up, because what Dr. Frates and I are doing is we're putting on our lifestyle medicine hats, and we're giving you these clues and facts that you probably had no clue about. I mean, seriously, when you're taking that little walk, what's going on in your brain? You thought it was just your feet pounding the pavement and maybe, you know, what's going on with your legs and whatever. Don't want to break your heart here, but this is a brain body, you know, network that works together. So hit it up with that BDNF, Dr. Frates.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you all know, there's an obesity epidemic, a diabetes epidemic, but guess what? Dementia. So that's why we're going to talk about BDNF, because most people are afraid of dementia. And now, BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, actually helps grow brain cells. Some people call it miracle grow for the brain. Now, when Pam and I were in medical school, we believed that you had a certain number of neurons or brain cells. Neurons are brain cells. You had a certain number of brain cells, and you didn't grow more. You couldn't increase the number of brain cells. But now we know differently. Now we know you can increase the number of neurons in your brain, and exercise is one of the best ways to do that because you release BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It also helps create synapses, connections from one neuron to the other. More importantly, wow, Pam, let's sit down for this one. Exercise can, in fact, change the morphology of your brain, change how your brain is shaped, meaning your hippocampus, which is deep inside your brain, and it is critical for consolidating memories. We know by looking at MRIs that if you are exercising routinely, you can increase the volume, the size of your hippocampus. So that is big news for everyone who would like to remain productive, independent, creative throughout their lifespan. Did you like more?
You know something? I'm just sitting here going, I want to get up right now, walk around my radio studio, and just crank out a couple, you know, new brain cells. You know, this is so terribly important. Also, you know, there's another thing that happens, too, that's so amazing. In addition to literally changing the shape of your brain and giving you that larger hippocampus, which, honey, this is one thing you want large on you. And raise your hand if you don't want a bigger brain. So, you know, I know where everybody's coming from. But, you know, as you know, Beth, and I, there are certain genes in the body that just need to be slapped down and need to be controlled. One of them, which is actually globally ubiquitous, it's all over the place, like 66, 67% global penetrance, is the obesity gene. And if you've done 23andMe and Lord knows what else, and you've done that health part of it, you're going to see whether or not you have the F as in Frank, T as in Tom, O as in obesity gene, FTO. Now, there was a really cool experiment that was done with people who were absolutely obese, no question. They met all criteria. And all they did, the only intervention they did with these people, once they were certified to have that gene and the gene was seen to be, for all intent and purposes, really turned on. And that's we measure genetic expression, which is a way of kind of understanding how turned on that gene is. Because genes like this have basically a dimmer switch on them. And so, you know, like how much is it really turning on super bright? So what they did was they took these people, you know, who were feeling once they learned they had the FTO gene, like, oh, great. And they just simply had them walk. And they walked the equivalent of an hour a day. And, you know, they weren't marathoning. They weren't like, you know, skipping through the streets. They were just basically out there pounding the pavement. And this is all good. Okay. Now what happened is after the course of about 6 months, they went back and they looked in and really wanted to understand what was happening, both with the people themselves physically, as well as what happened to the gene. And they went ahead and looked at the FTO genes. Lo and behold, the expression of that gene was now downregulated. It's like you turn that dimmer switch further down by a factor of up to 40% in a number of those people. Oh boy. So when you feel like, oh great, you know, I've got the FTO gene and I suppose I'm just going to be screwed for life and for sure my destiny is obesity. Dr. Frates and I are here to tell you that lifestyle choices like getting up and getting more physically active, I don't even use the E word, exercise, just getting more physically active has a profound effect on how those genes in your body are talking to the rest of the body, especially funky genes like the obesity gene. And so I want you to feel empowered. This is really powerful stuff. A simple thing like a walk in a park can make that kind of difference. What do you say about that, Beth?
That's terrific. I love that you shared that research, and I think that you've hit on a topic that is so important, which is genetics. And I bet there are some listeners that know they have the obesity gene, and I bet they're sitting there. Hopefully they're now standing and at least walking in place. Some people may even be taking a walk by now, but they're thinking to themselves, thank goodness I listened today, because now I know there's something I can do, and genes are not my destiny. Moreover, I can change the morphology of my brain. I can increase the volume of my hippocampus. I can increase serotonin levels like antidepressants. I can release endorphins. I can release dopamine, which is going to help me with motivation and reward. I can release norepinephrine. So if people are feeling not focused, this is something we didn't mention, but if you're feeling as if you're scattered, when you exercise, you also get a dose of norepinephrine, and that's going to help with attention and perception. So I'm thinking that our listeners are moving right now. That's my guess. But I wish we could see them, Pam, don't you?
I love it. And, well, I'm trusting that you're all out there just beginning to do your little move thing. And we're spending a lot of time on this issue of just getting up and moving because, you know, what's really interesting is that in the field of psychology, what we've really found is that a lot of people mistakenly, actually, wait for something to happen to get them moving. And
right.
As it turns out, that's actually very wrong. And that what you really actually need to do is first take action. Because when you actually take action, you become that action. It's really kind of an amazing thing. So for instance, let's say you're feeling really down. It's just one of those days, right? And you're just feeling helpless, hopeless, and you know, you're on the brink of depression and you're just like that. I'd like you to try an experiment. Smile. Just go ahead and just dig right through it and smile. Walk up to somebody, you know, even if, you know, like you're at the grocery store and now you're coming up to the clerk and whatever, smile, ask them how their day's going, you know, chat it up a little bit, and watch what happens. It's almost magical. And that is, if you do it, you become it. Don't wait for it to fall in your lap. If you do it, you become it. So how many times, Beth, seriously, between you and me, girlfriends, how many times have you just felt like really funky? And then you say, you know something, I'm cutting right through it. And you get up and what the evil little devils in your brain are saying, don't go out and run. Don't go out and walk. You know, don't go to the gym. Don't do anything. Just sit on your ass. And then you cut right through it. And you say, screw that. I'm just going to do it. And you just stop all that monkey brain going on. And then what you do is you do it, and guess how you feel? Phenomenal. So do it and then become it. It's sort of an amazing thing. What do you say about that?
I really like that, do it and become it. I am going to actually use that, Pam. I don't use that, and that's something I'm taking away from this beautiful podcast. So thank you for that.
No, I really love it because, you know, when I read your book, and I just absolutely love, love, love this book. It's the Lifestyle Medicine Handbook, An Introduction to the Power of Healthy Habits. Well, what are we really talking about? We're talking about power, how empowered you are when you do this. So, you know, here's something else that's kind of cool. You know, one of the things that really keeps us going is to have a vision of our own success. You love vision. You've got it all over the book. So teach and help enlighten the Her Podcast listeners to what it's like to set a vision for yourself and remind yourself of that vision on a routine basis. What does that mean?
I do enjoy envisioning, and it's one of the first things that we do with clients when we're working to commence an exercise or physical activity or movement program. And so let me spend a minute or two walking you through creating and crafting a vision. And the listeners could perhaps join me and indeed think of their own vision. So what I would ask you is consider 5 years from now and think about specifically where you want to be in life. Think about using all your senses here. So think about, while you're walking, how you feel. How does it feel to be walking? Maybe even what shoes are you wearing? What comfortable clothes are you wearing? How does that all feel on you? Think about your mindset. What is your self-talk like in 5 years? What are you saying to yourself? Are you saying things like, wow, I'm really giving my best effort to my family, to my work, to my friends, to my loved ones. I am using my strengths. I know that my strengths are creativity, are loyalty, and I know that I'm really good with follow through. And I'm using these strengths every day in any possible way. Are you now, as you are walking and thinking, are you able to walk into a scenario that brings you great joy? So maybe for you, that could be swimming in a lake. I don't know. Maybe for you, that's going into a restaurant and eating with some friends. Of course, we're eating healthy foods at that restaurant, but eating with some friends and celebrating. Maybe for you, that place of joy is walking on the beach, or maybe the place of joy for you happens to be in the mountains, sitting on the top of a peak on a mountain and looking down and seeing the landscape below. Maybe it's walking into a museum and looking at the beautiful artwork, or perhaps it's going to the theater, or maybe an orchestra. Envision yourself walking into these places of joy and thinking about your strengths and feeling comfortable in your body, and think about who's around you, what friends you're keeping dear to your in your inner circle. And then think about really what you will be feeling gratitude for. What do you think when you see yourself in 5 years? What are you going to be looking back and saying, I'm so grateful for X, Y, Z? It could be people. It could be a job opportunity. It could be a gym membership. I don't know, but commitment to spiritual growth. It could be so many things that you're thankful for. But think about yourself and think about how you would answer those questions. And then the idea is, well, that's what you want to be in 5 years. That's how you want to be feeling, how you want to be moving in your own body, how you want to be talking to yourself. And then ask yourself, how close are you to that right now? Are you moving in that way, in that comfortable way? Are you talking to yourself in that way? Are you surrounding yourself with positive people? Are you involved in projects that you really enjoy? And if so, terrific. And if you want to make more gains in those areas, think about it. But if you're not near that, if you're not moving in a way that's comfortable at all right now, then you start to say, okay, in a year from now, what's realistic for me? What could I commit to in a year from now that will help me get to that vision? So I want to be feeling more comfortable walking and walking around in my sneakers. So what do I need to do between now and a year? Maybe that's going and joining a walking group, perhaps, or getting a friend to start a walking routine with you. Or maybe it's simply committing walking to work, or taking a half hour at lunch to take a walk in your building or hopefully outside, depending on where you are. And that's what you'll work towards in a year. So then you go and you say, okay, what's feasible in 3 months? And then you bring it down to what's feasible in 1 month. And then guess what we're going to do, Pam? We're going to say, what's feasible this week? And then we're going to look at today. We're all in this moment together on this podcast. We're going to look at today. What can I do today? One small step And maybe it's pull out the shoes, literally, try on the sneakers and see if they fit. And if they don't, it's making a commitment to get new shoes or sneakers that do fit well. So you can start walking and reach that 1 month goal, 3 month
goal. Well, you know, what you're really doing is you're helping people set that vision. And that vision is terribly important, because without it, you really, really do not have kind of a way to be able to come back and stay centered. You know, your ideas are just filling me with, you know, glowing smiles, because I think that everyone out there, I don't care at what level of, you know, healthcare and fitness and all the rest of it you are, I know you can embrace this. You know why? Because you're talking, you know, to an expert here. You're saying to yourself, okay, I can trust what she says. Why? Because Dr. Beth Frates is the author of Lifestyle Medicine Handbook, An Introduction to the Power of Healthy Habits. She's an assistant professor at the Harvard Medical School and, quite frankly, a national expert in lifestyle medicine. I want you to run on over to her website, which is wellness-synergy.com. Wellness-synergy.com. Beth, I cannot begin to thank you enough for once again enlightening and empowering our audience for the Her Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Pam. I always enjoy this podcast with you.
All right. Well, guess what? We already got you signed up for like 20 more, so hang in there. We're going to have a lot more fun. And for you out there, come on now. You loved every single moment of this, so run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review the show, because we want to hear from you. And Dr. Beth Frates and I just love the feedback, especially me. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek. I'm host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Hey, thanks for listening today. Stay well.